Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. The last time we were together, we talked a lot about invasion, and that's the infringement by intrusion, harmful, attack, hostile, inroads. And as we studied it together, if you'll recall, one of the main issues is the invading of the mind. And forces are attempting to manipulate us all the time. Not just through sales and normal procedures, but to affect the brains of men for the purpose of control, for the purpose of taking over, manipulating, and this has got to be the ultimate in narcissism, which is the seeking of pleasure, control, and money, and domination. And so now they have introduced different kinds of neurotechnology so that we are merging brain and machines together. We used to carry our computer, then we wore computers. Now the attempt is to put them inside our bodies and affect our brains directly, producing what we call transhumanism, which is the merger of machine and brain together. And of course, the question is, what's at the other end of the brain, the machine? Who's running it? What's their agenda? What are they trying to do to us? Why are they trying to manipulate our brains? Why this absolute possession they have of wanting to have control and taking over us until we are no longer the individual person that God intended us to be? Thus, we're dealing with invasion. This is an encroachment. It is an assault on us and our way of life. But not only is it an invasion of our minds, but the last time we were together, we talked about how let me show you our title slide. It was How Narcissism Has Invaded the Gospel. How Iniquity, which is the Bible word, by the way, for narcissism, has invaded the gospel. That was what we talked about last time we were together. Before moving on, I thought it was in our best interest if we spent time on salvation. What is salvation really all about? We know that Jesus comes to salvage us, save us. That's why when we say Jesus saves, we mean salvage. And this is the wonderful thing about Jesus, isn't it? There's nothing broke he can't fix. There's no damage done that he can't repair. There's no life so devastated. And you see, this is why we call him the Savior. That's why we call him the Redeemer, because he's quite capable of salvaging us, and that's what he does. So watch now, because what if the gospel has been invaded? And what if what's being presented as the gospel is not really the gospel? And how will we know the difference? So let's take a look at the scripture. That if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that need it the most. It's hid to those that are lost. Now watch this. In whom the God of this world, which is a reference to the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, the God of this world has, look at this now, blinded, this is what he does, he has blinded he's blinded the mind, not the eyes, but he's blinded the minds of those that believe not. He is after mental control. Now, the scripture goes on and says, the reason he does this is he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel. Now, I don't want you to miss, this gospel is absolutely glorious. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's delightful. It's good news. He does not want the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. He doesn't want it to shine into people's lives. He is the enemy, and he wants to blind the minds. Now, unfortunately, he's got a lot of forces helping him, a lot of people helping him. And now he's enlisted technology. to manipulate, mentally control the mind, to get people to believe that what is good is really bad. And what is evil, now, we'll get them to call it good. We'll reverse this thing. And this, of course, as you can well imagine, is to the devastation of an entire culture. That's what we're faced with. Mind control. But the subject today isn't the control of the mind. It is what has happened to the gospel. Because if the gospel is doing what the Bible says it should do, America would not be in its present condition. The world would not be in its present condition because this gospel, remember this, that being what's right, doing what's right, exalts a nation. I mean, that's what makes a nation really together. Productive, successful, delightful. So, our topic today is we want to understand the nature of the true gospel. What is it like? I only got a few points, so here we go. Number one. It's an authentic response to the superior, or rather the supernatural gospel. The true gospel has to be responded to authentically. It's an authentic response to the supernatural gospel. Let's talk about the supernatural gospel just for a moment. Because here's the fact. The reception of a supernatural gospel brings about a supernatural experience. The reception of the supernatural message of the gospel brings about a supernatural transformation in a person's life. So let's go back to the scripture for a moment. The true conversion comes about when there is an authentic response to the supernatural gospel. So let's look at the scripture. As many as receive him, obviously properly, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but the will of God. Let's take a look at this and break this down. As many as receive him, as receive him. This requires a response. So here's the gospel. Here's the offer. And it's a great offer. Can you imagine such an offer to take away all your sins, all the past wrongs, to cleanse you from the effects of all of them and make you a brand new creature? My goodness. This is a supernatural gospel. It changes people. Watch them. So as many as received him. Now watch the next phrase. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You are going to have a supernatural energy aiding, abetting, helping, empowering you. If you receive him properly, you will get the power to become the son of God. Now watch this. Even to them that believe on his name. And this is not believe in the sense of some academic assertion. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus. I mean, everybody who's read the history book knows they believe in Jesus because it's historically proven, right? But believing him to the point where you're all in, you're going to follow him, okay? Now, let's go back to the scripture now. So as many as receive him, he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to those that will authentically believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let me show you a translation of this. Whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, he was who he claimed. Now watch this. And believed sufficiently and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves. Oh, interesting phrase coming up. Their child of God selves. Oh. In other words, back to what you should have been and once upon a time were, that's what he does. So watch this now. Whoever did want him, do you want him? Do you believe he is who he claimed to be, and will you do what he says, then he will make you your authentic true selves, the child of God self. Then it goes on to say, these are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten, but this is a that's why they call this being born again. It's this supernatural change that God brings into our lives. You know, I don't want us to miss this, so I'm going to repeat if you don't mind. Whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, this is the authentic response to the supernatural gospel, and that's what brings change. So what is the nature of the true gospel? It is an authentic response to a supernatural gospel. Now, the right response includes something that might at first seem really ugly to you, but it's a delight. And watch it, because here's what it is. It is the death termination of iniquity, or, because this is the Bible word for narcissism. And watch here now. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. He sent him to bless you. Now, what is this great blessing? Watch this. To turn away. Now, look at this. Everybody who's really in. To turn everyone away of you from his iniquity, from his God playing, from his narcissism, from putting ourselves in the God position, the management position that belongs only to God. And so in order for him to come into our lives properly, we got to get the false God removed, vacate the throne, so to speak, because it's being occupied. And who is it occupying? It's man filling in his own life the place of God, deciding, I'll decide what's right and wrong. I, the very first, that's right in the middle of the word sin, right in the middle of the word pride, three times in the word iniquity. It's what Lucifer was, perfect in all his ways until iniquity. What was iniquity? He said, I will be exalted, I'll be like the Most High God. And he tried to take over God's position, and it's like, I'll exalt my stars above the stars of God. I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God. He took over and he got kicked out of heaven because of this. So an authentic gospel comes about when we give an authentic response to the real gospel. And that response has to include the death termination, not a temporary termination, but a death termination of iniquity, which is the anti-God position in our lives. Let's look at Scripture. So, it's verbalized this way, and most churches understand this. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized, we're going to talk about baptism, into Jesus Christ, we were baptized unto his death. Okay? Watch it now. So, therefore, we are buried by him in baptism unto death. And watch it now. And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, so we also should be raised up and walk in a new life. In other words, it is death to the old that brings forth the new. But if the old doesn't die, the new can't live. So we have baptism. And what is this idea of baptism? Now, it's true. There are some who claim you should baptize babies. I don't want to get into that because you can't find one in the Bible that got baptized as a baby. And it comes from a false doctrine that's been around for 1,700 years. So what is this really baptism? Let's take another look at a scripture. That we are buried with him in baptism. And we're risen with him. Through the faith of the operation. Now look, through the faith of the operation of God. So God is supernaturally going to be involved in this. So here's what baptism is. You remember, Jesus baptized, John baptized, and Jesus baptized. And anybody who's going to follow him has to be baptized. Those are one of the conditions of being a Christian, is repentance, faith, baptism, which is an outward indication of something that's supposedly happened inside. What is that? So we go to a swimming pool, we go to a body of water, the sea, the Atlantic, the Pacific, or some ocean, some body of water. And believers surround, we all there to witness what's going on and what's happening here. So a person is taken and dunked in the water. We go down into the water. It was called immersion. And that, in going into the water, is a symbol. Okay, watch it. It's a symbol of death. And what you bury down there isn't just over 10 sins or 20 sins or whatever. It's the burying of the ego and the self-rulership of God. And what has to die is the old rulership, where I was the boss. And then we take the person up out of the water, and it's a symbol of resurrection. If there's no death, there can be no resurrection, but the resurrection. So here's what. So we go down into the water as a symbol of death to ourself, and we come up to change. Now, so let me see if I can help you with this a little further. Paul verbalized it this way when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So what happened? He's saying, I got crucified, but then I rose again. He had baptism. He was baptized into his death and resurrected, like just like Jesus was raised from the dead. So we're come out of the water a new person. And what is that new person? What signifies the new person? It is the fact that now Jesus is our Lord. You see, true conversion is a change of management. From self-management to Christ-management. Because all we like street have gone astray, we'd turn everyone to his own way. And that's what iniquity is. For the Lord had laid on him, what is it? The iniquity of us all. What is it? Turning our own way, being the boss, usurping God's rightful place. We're the boss. We took over. And so there's a termination of that. And now Jesus is enthroned in his proper place in our lives as the Lord, the boss, the manager. Oh, what a great delight this is. Living life under management by somebody who is super smart, wise, being under the management of somebody who's morally accurate all the time, who always knows what's right from wrong. So we live under a new management. Now, it's true that at Christmas time we often quote the scripture, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government, now watch it, the government shall be upon his shoulders. And it goes on, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Counselor, can you imagine? The Everlasting Father. I mean, look at all you get. But watch this. The government of our lives will be upon his shoulder. Christianity, in order to be genuine Christian, is a change of government. It's a change from self-rule to Christ's rule. And baptism is a symbol of that. I'm not talking about this baby baptism thing. In fact, I saw a meme really recently. It was a picture of a little kid talking on a little baby talking on the phone, and he says, "You won't believe this, but I went to church today, and a man in a suit tried to drown me." And he said, "And my family just stood around with cameras taking pictures." I'm not talking about the baby stuff because there's no biblical basis for that. Watch here now. So scripture comes and says that we are buried with him by baptism into death, a death, a termination, a death termination of self-rule, iniquity, narcissism. And watch this now. And in addition, as Christ was raised up from the dead, just like Christ was raised from the dead, so we should walk now, full, we come up with him and walk in this newness of life. So all scripture, and I don't want you to get too caught up in the language here, but I want you to know the truth. That if we're planted together in the likeness of his death, down into the water, baptism, death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, up out of the water. Knowing this, watch here now, that the old man who was bossing our lives, our ego, was crucified with him. Whoa. So that from now on we don't serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And if we be dead with Christ, now watch this, we believe that we shall also live with him. And this, my friends, is indeed the essence. This is the essence of the true conversion. It's an authentic response to a supernatural gospel, but it requires the death termination of narcissism, of iniquity, of me being God instead of him. That's why you should have some kind of a test. So, let me give you one. If Jesus is my Lord, that means ruler, master, boss, manager, right? If Jesus is really my Lord, if I've really been genuinely converted, watch this now, then I cease to have an opinion on all matters on which he has already spoken in his word. In other words, we either follow him or we're not following him. We're either in or out. If Jesus is my Lord, I cease to have an opinion on all matters in which he has spoken in his word. So again, let me repeat. If Jesus is my Lord, I cease to have an opinion on all matters which has spoken in his word. And in other words, the proof that we've really been changed is that this termination of self is no longer being allowed to exert itself in the place of God. And now, whatever God says, I happily do. Because there's a termination. And now it's no longer I live, but Christ that lives within me. So, let's go to this one now. Because once you have this authentic conversion, you receive the actual entrance and the continued presence of Jesus. Now, don't worry about the first line, but watch where the scripture goes. As many as I love, I rebuke them and I chasten them. I'm going to correct you. If I really love somebody and I see them going the wrong way, the destructive way, I'm going to stop them. So this is what he says. Now watch this. Be zealous. Nobody can come half-heartedly. Be zealous. Be all in. And if I bring up something in your life that needs to be changed, remember, because if I love you, like a father who loves his son corrects him, I'll chasten you, and I want you then to be happily zealous and repent. And then he says this, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I want to walk through this verse really slowly one more time. If any man hear my voice, make sure you get somewhere in the stillness and start listening. He'll be there. He wants. He stands at the door and he knocks. And nothing you can do can turn him away. People say, I don't want you, God, get out of my life. You know what he does? He doesn't get mad, angry, and pout. He just keeps on knocking. And he says, if anybody hears my voice. And then, if they will open the door of their heart. Look at this grand news. I will come into him. Oh. The entrance of Jesus into your life. For real. It's like he comes walking out of the pages of the Bible right into your life. It's like he comes walking through the centuries. He's alive today. And he wants to come in to your life. You see, the true nature of conversion is an entrance of Jesus into your life to rule unchallenged. Now, I want to go back to the screen. I want you to see it. Because the next part of this verse says this. I'm going to come into you. And if you will overcome with me, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. You will forever be with the Lord. He comes into your life. And watch this now. Because authentically, he lives his life in you in this life, but also in the life which is to come. For this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it comes down to the question for you today. Not about whether you're religious, not about whether you go to a Christian church, because you know that going into a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage turns you into an automobile. Have an athlete's foot doesn't make you an athlete. You can sit in a church from now till eternity till you die and never become a Christian. Because to become a Christian requires a response, an authentic response to a supernatural gospel. It's like, and it takes this death thing. I'm going to be new tonight. The old's got to pass away. And isn't that one of the great things that Jesus promised? Isn't that what the scripture says? If any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And everything has become new. So, the authentic gospel brings the real Jesus alive in you today. Not just to stand around statically, but to be the leader and you the follower. I long ago decided that I wanted to be the student and not the teacher when it came to God. And that's what has to happen. An exchange of position. From self-rule to God's rule. So he wants you in this life and in the life to come. So the question now for you is simply this. Will you respond authentically to this supernatural gospel? Where you are willing to let the ego get dethroned? Terminate narcissism, no longer my will but his be done, which will bring about this wonderful entrance, a continued presence of Jesus in your life, both in this life and the life to come. That's the most important question I could ever ask you. My hope is that if you haven't that right now, you will bring him in properly to your life. How? By giving up the ego, the megalomania, the selfishness. Because we who are saved should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again. It's a change of leadership. I'm not going to be the leader. He is. I'm going to be the follower. If you respond to this supernatural gospel, you will have a supernatural experience.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.